Okay, Shalom Aleichem Mishpacha, and today we're just going to finish up on empire. This is part five. We only got a few more pages here to go in this article, and
Here we go. The foreword to the report was authored by CSIS President and CEO John Hamray, who wrote, "We have all seen the poll numbers and know that much of the world today is not happy with American leadership, with even traditional allies beginning to question American values and interests, wondering whether they are compatible with their own. Hamray spoke for the American imperial establishment. We do not have to be loved, but we will never be able to accomplish our goals and keep Americans safe without mutual respect. What was needed then was to utilize their moment of opportunity in order to strike off on a big idea that balances a wiser internationalism with a desire for protection at home. In a world affairs, the center of gravity," wrote Hamray, "is shifting to Asia. Thus, as the only global superpower, we must manage multiple crises simultaneously while regional competitors can focus their attention and efforts. What is required is to strengthen capable states, alliances, partnerships, and institutions. Military might," noted Hamray, "while typically the bedrock of a nation's power, remains an inadequate basis for sustaining American power over time."
And what they mean is they want to keep the environment free of any interference in the any of the nations that they are encouraging through murder, rape, pillaging, and destroying to take their commands and take their countries into the New World Order. So that's what they mean by controlling the influences of the nations and things.
In their summary of the report, Nye and Armitage wrote that the ultimate goal of the U.S. foreign policy should be to prolong and preserve American preeminence as an agent for good. The goal, of course, was to prolong and preserve American preeminence, whereas the notion of being an agent for good was little more than a rhetorical add-on, since for policy-oriented intellectuals like those at CSIS, American preeminence is inherently a good thing.
Good for them.
And therefore, preserving American hegemony is, it is presumed, by definition, being an agent for good. Nye and Armitage suggested that the U.S. should have higher ambitions than being popular, but though acknowledging foreign opinion matters to U.S. decision-making, so long as it aligns with U.S. decisions, presumably. A good reputation, they suggested, brings acceptance for unpopular ventures. This was not to mark a turn away from using military force, as was explicitly acknowledged. We will always have our enemies, and we cannot abandon our coercive tools. Using soft power, however, was simply to add to America's arsenal of military and economic imperialism.
Soft power, media, charisma of the idols of these people that they're talking about, entertainment, you know, fake dollars that they'll promise you through loans. That would be soft power.
Bolstering soft power makes America stronger. Power, they wrote, is the ability to influence the behavior of others to get a desired outcome, noting the necessity of hard power, military and economic strength. But while there's no other global power, American hard power does not always translate into influence. While technological advances have made weapons more precise, they have also become more destructive, thereby increasing the political and social costs of using military force. Modern communications, they noted, diminish the fog of war, which is to say that they have facilitated more effective communication and management in wartime, but also heightened the...
Means they lie to you about what they're doing. That's why it's diminished the fog of war. And then, of course, they, you know, look how callous they are and how they're talking about this. They don't give a damn about who they're blowing up on the other end.
They have facilitated more effective communication and management in wartime, but also heightened the atomized political consciousness, which is to say that it has allowed populations all over the world to gain access to information and communication outside the selectivity of traditional institutions of power.
So that's why they want to get control of the internet and cut off your ability to look at anything that you want and dig up any dirt on them any longer.
These trends have made power less tangible and coercion less effective.
Oh, I just want to say and remind you guys, we put out a show, it's called NASA Strategic Warfare Conference, and you know where they're going with this is nanotech and micro drones. They'll eliminate all armed forces, the entire manned armed forces. You'll either be robotically half-human robots or full robotics, and the Air Force is going to be full robotics, and they're all talking about this by 2020.
This report noted
that... And it has to do with what they can do with their weapons as far as affecting your cerebral cortex of your brain in any population of a country, so they can go in and they can erase your ideas, your culture, everything that you know in your life, and then they can reprogram you so you will be gentle servants, slaves, happy slaves to the kingdom, while they suck the life out of your head and the emperors get to drink it, just like in that movie Dark Crystal.
The report noted, Machiavelli said it was safer to be feared than to be loved. Today, in the global information age, it is better to be both. Thus, soft power is the ability to attract people to our side without coercion, making legitimacy the central concept of soft power.
Yeah, we need to save the world from a global warming, so let's get together underneath this green banner. This is just so great.
As such, if nations and people believe American objectives to be legitimate, we are more likely to persuade them to follow our lead without using threats and bribes. Noting that America's enemies in the world are largely non-state actors and groups who control no territory, hold few assets, and sprout new leaders for each one that is killed, victory becomes problematic. Militaries are well suited to defeating states, but they are often poor instruments to fight ideas. Thus, victory in the modern world depends on attracting foreign populations to our side, of which soft power is a necessity.
So how do you do that? You got to get control of the belly. Once you eliminate the ability for the people to produce for themselves, and you're the only provider of the food that goes in their belly, that's how they're going to do it, Mishpaka.
Despite various military adventures in the Western Hemisphere and in the Philippines, in the late 19th century and early 20th centuries, the U.S. military has not been put in the service of building a colonial empire in the manner of European militaries, the report read, acknowledging quite plainly that while not a formal colonial empire, the U.S. was an imperial power nonetheless. Since World War II, America has sought to promote rules and order in a world in which life continues to be nasty, brutish, and short for the majority of inhabitants. While the appeal of Hollywood and American products can play a role in inspiring the dreams and desires of others, soft power is not merely cultural, but also promotes political values and our somewhat reluctant participation in leadership and institutions that help shape the global agenda.
Political values like a woman's right to choose so they can do 53 million abortions here in the United States, and then Obama can make a law and execute money that you, all this money you pay in your taxes is going to fund all this. So Obama, what does he do? He's spreading abortion and great love to the rest of the world. It is another political idea, a political correctness about who you are, what you're up to, and where you're going, and then collectively as your country as well.
However, a more interconnected and tolerant world is not something everyone's looking forward to, noted the authors. Ideas can be threatening to those who consider their way of life to be under siege by the West, which is to say the rest of the world. Smart power, then, is neither hard nor soft. It is the skillful combination of both, and means developing an integrated strategy, resource base, and toolkit to achieve American objectives, drawing on both hard and soft power. And once you get through the soft power, it's just going to turn hard, and it
will just be
what the Nazis became.
That's right. You'll either be chipped, or you won't be existing in their world.
You'll get your head chopped off.
That's right.
Other members of the CSIS Commission on Smart Power included Nancy Baker, former U.S. Senator, member and member of the Advisory Board of the Partnership for Secure America, General Charles G. Boyd, former President and CEO of the Business Executives for National Security, and former Director of the Council on Foreign Relations, as well as Maurice Greenberg, Thomas Pickering, David Rubenstein, and Obama's newest Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel. It's quite apparent that the members of the CSIS Commission and CSIS itself would be able to wield significant influence upon the Obama administration. Joseph Nye has even advised Hillary Clinton while she served as Secretary of State. Perhaps then we should not be surprised that at her Senate confirmation hearing in January 2009, Clinton declared the era of rigid ideology in diplomacy to be at an end, and the foreign policy of smart power to be exercised, that she would make decisions based on facts and evidence, not emotions or prejudice. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Clinton declared, "We must use what has been called smart power, the full range of tools at our disposal, diplomatic, economic, military, political, legal, and cultural, picking the right tool or combination of tools for each situation."
Propaganda. So whatever country you live in, you know, depending on your culture, they will design a whole package for you to believe in.
She quoted the ancient Roman poet Terence, "In every endeavor, the seemingly course for wise men is to try persuasion first," then added, "The same truth binds wise women as well." While Joseph Nye had coined the term soft power in the 1990s, Susan Nossel coined the term smart power. Nossel was the chief operating officer of Human Rights Watch, former executive at media conglomerate Bertelsmann, and was a former deputy to UN Ambassador Richard Holbrooke in the Clinton administration. She coined the term smart power in 2004 issue of Foreign Affairs, the Journal of the Council on Foreign Relations, after which time Joseph Nye began using it, leading to the CSIS Commission on Smart Power. At the Senate hearing, Senator Jim Webb stated, "The phrase of the week is smart power." Nossel commented on Clinton's Senate hearing, saying, "Hillary was impressive. She didn't gloss over the difficulties, but at the same time, she was fundamentally optimistic. She's saying that by using all the tools of power in concert, the trajectory of America's decline can be reversed. She'll make smart power cool." Following the first 6 months of the Obama administration, Hillary Clinton was to deliver a major foreign policy speech to the Council on Foreign Relations, where she would articulate her own policy agenda, focusing on the strengthening of smart power. One official involved in the speech planning process noted that it would include dissension on the U.S. relations with and management of the great powers in a way that gets more comprehensive. The speech was long in the making and was being overseen by the director of the State Department's Policy Planning Council.
Hallelujah, Ms. Picasso. Keep looking up everything and know the world of deceit and the liars who make those lies, because their father is the father of lies. And the whole intention is to put a spirit of fear, any kind of any one of their little children of demons that are on the other side of the veil, so that they can get you inhabited into your body, mind, heart, and soul, and especially that of your children, and it'll be an absolute corruption, and your nation will fall to the new world order.